Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Anna Sale, in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC. It's Friday, and the end of what no one would describe as a normal week. This is a week in which a political reporter colleague of mine quoted with a straight face a registered voter he'd spoken to who said this: "I just don't know if I can vote for someone I've seen naked." And that was a completely legitimate and relevant quote to include in a news story this week. But let's take a step back, or maybe it's a step forward, and talk about what mayoral primary elections are usually about: the local issues, the interest groups, the grassroots advocacy, what's at stake. So listeners, our question for you is this: what important issue got crowded out by all the Anthony Weiner news this week? Advocates, welcome here. Interest groups, this is your moment. Call us, 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. What were voters distracted from? What were reporters distracted from? What issue needs to get back on the agenda? What's been crowded out? Give us a call, 212-433-9692. And here to help take your calls is David Chen, New York Times City Hall Bureau Chief. Hello, David. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Anna. Good to talk to you again.
Now, I want to start with just a blanket statement at the top. Anthony Weiner's personal failings are totally interesting, completely worthy of media scrutiny, and absolutely a valid way for voters to evaluate his candidacy. So it's not so much that this is a story that we shouldn't have been covering, but it certainly took up a lot of oxygen this week. So, David, I want to first ask you, what's the issue or story that you think got a little bit undercovered this week?
There are a whole number of issues that I think could have gotten a little more attention. I mean, if you start on Sunday, even there was some attention paid to this NYCHA sleepover that all the major candidates on the Democratic side participated in, which was organized by Al Sharpton, whose endorsement, of course, they covet. And the idea was to highlight some of the issues in public housing. Some of those issues were actually amplified in a story that the Times had a few days later about the very long and growing list of hundreds of thousands of New Yorkers who were waiting to get into public housing. And it was also magnified a few days later when there was a shooting at the Lincoln Houses where they were staying just a few days afterwards. So that was a major issue. Another thing that I think was certainly the talk in some circles was the comparison that a few folks tried to make between Detroit's bankruptcy and New York City's situation. Bill Keller, who's a former executive editor of the Times, had an op-ed piece which quoted Dick Ravitch and others sort of sounding the alarm bells in terms of the city's fiscal condition. A lot of the mayoral candidates sort of pushed back on that, and it was sort of ready or prime for a really good discussion. And there was also a fascinating graphic and story about income mobility or the lack thereof that people were beginning to talk about in terms of opportunities in New York and elsewhere or the lack thereof to move. Up and down in terms of income brackets. And it's the kind of thing that I think, you know, was playing to potentially the core of a lot of what these candidates in the Democratic and the Republican primaries were trying to get at. But then Tuesday came and, you know, all the oxygen was gone.
Everything changed. A few things, David, you just ran down a whole list. We had Comptroller John Liu on the show last week, and Brian asked him about that comparison between New York City and Detroit. And his case was it was much different. We're in a much better shape than Detroit. So as you said, the Democratic candidates pushing back on that narrative a bit. But just to go back first to that NYCHA sleepover, so all the Democratic candidates took part in that. Did it read to you as a stunt, or coming out of it, did they actually say, here are some solutions for what's happening at NYCHA?
Well, I mean, at this point, with less than 50 days to go, I mean, I think it, you know, I think it's reasonable for many New Yorkers to think that everything is a stunt, or at least choreographed to some degree. So you have to take it with a bit of a grain of salt. But that being said, I think a lot of the candidates have pretty long records when it comes to talking about public housing and housing in general, and it has been an issue that has been discussed during the campaign at countless forums that you and I have been to or tried to avoid, and so they are trying to discuss different things. I know that Speaker Chris Quinn, for example, was sort of stunned by the mold conditions in the apartment that she was in. Bill Thompson, I saw him at another event afterwards, was still sort of, his eyes were sort of popping out of his head in terms of the conditions and the elevator state of disrepair and whatnot. So I think, you know, it really did sort of provide, a more human context of the things they've been talking about in policy terms. So hopefully they will use that experience and try to come up with some concrete things.
And one other thing related to that, also this week a number of elected officials are spending time living on minimum wage, the minimum wage challenge. Public advocate Bill de Blasio is doing that. This is a few weeks after some other mayoral candidates participated in the food stamp challenge. Anything coming out of this minimum wage challenge that you've heard?
A number of different candidates for public office, including Tish James, Dan Squadron, both of whom are running for public advocate, Jessica Lappin, who's running for Manhattan Borough President, and Bill de Blasio, who missed the food stamp challenge that Anthony Weiner and John Liu participated in, have all talked about sort of the challenges and some of the meals that they've been trying to buy, you know, a couple dollars for a slice of pizza here, a little pasta there, some lentils here. And I think, again, as gimmicky as it is, this kind of event does have a potential purpose in highlighting, some of the difficulties that a lot of folks face on a very regular basis. And I think a lot of the different policy groups that we've been talking to are generally in favor of any kind of attention being paid by celebrities or politicians or others to some of the pressing needs of ordinary citizens.
Okay. Well, we're also taking your calls and what you think has been crowded out. The phone number 212-433-9692. Michael in the East Village, what do you think you wanted to hear more talk about this week?
Good morning. Not only this week, but every week. I heard a radio report, and I'm not, you're not adverse to my mentioning the name of the radio station, WBAI.
Go right ahead.
They have a weekly labor report, and one segment on one program a few weeks ago spoke of the MTA's decision to move out of currently real estate that they operate out of in Brooklyn on Livingston Street and on J Street, that they lease from the city for $1 a year because it's city-owned property, so they get a good deal on that. Instead, they're going to move operations to many of them. They're still going to keep, I understand, some part of some of those, but a lot of it's going to be moved to 2 Broadway, which is privately owned and is going to cost them and essentially the taxpayers, ultimately, $260 million a year. So there's a website that was given on that radio program, and I think it was mtarealestatescam.org or .com. I'm not sure which. I haven't been able to locate it.
Okay.
This is, like, unbelievable, and nobody's talking about this.
All right, Michael, thanks for your call. We're going to take a few more calls and then go back to David. Mary on the Upper East Side, what do you want to hear more talk about?
Hi. Yeah, I'd like to know which of the candidates is really taking the fragility of our subway system and stuff in the face of a storm seriously.
All right. Thanks for your call. And Kamala in Park Slope, how about you?
Hi. I think that the focus on poverty that other folks were talking about earlier directly feeds into my concern, which is education. And I think that the current mayor and he's not alone, I think this is a national trend, have kind of used their focus on education ignores the fact that to the extent which schools aren't doing well has to do with poverty and not with quote-unquote bad teachers or, you know, high-stakes testing is not going to stop that. The focus has to be on making the lives of children better so they can do better in schools, and then so therefore school policy should be focused not on testing and punishing teachers.
All right. Thanks for your call. And Dina in Columbus Circle, how about you?
Yeah, I really think Christine Quinn has to answer to the New York voters why she went went ahead and voted for another term for Bloomberg when the majority of New Yorkers didn't want that. And I think she is too much connected to the current administration, to Wall Street and moneyed people. And I don't really think at this point she really has the average American, I'd rather New Yorker, in her best interest. Yeah. And I think that should be really discussed more so than this Wiener thing. I mean, the Wiener thing is wrong, but I'm just saying that's what we really need to hear. She has to answer to that, and she hasn't.
Thanks for your call, Dina. Now, David, Anthony Weiner tried to turn the conversation back to Christine Quinn and term limits at one point during a press conference this week. But let's go back to that MTA infrastructure, the selling off of MTA real estate, and also the question of which candidates are really talking about infrastructure improvements post-Sandy.
Well, it's interesting. Just that sort of really great smattering of calls that you just took represented a little microcosm of what we've been hearing on the trail, and also what you see reflected in a lot of the public polling so far in terms of the MTA and real estate and sort of like the post-Sandy issues. A number of candidates have tried to unveil their own sort of, you know, resiliency plans post-Sandy. The MTA always comes up, as an issue. It's something that Joe Loda is obviously in a position to talk about and speak to. It also speaks, again, to how a lot of New Yorkers feel that the mayor has a lot of control over, say, MTA matters, even though it's a state agency. Education and poverty also, just issues that really have been big ones when people are asked what's important to them. And, of course, term limits, which is a very resonant issue, especially to Democrats, especially those on the Upper West Side. And it helps to explain why in a lot of the polling, Speaker Quinn has often the highest negatives or unfavorable ratings. And there was even one poll this week which found that I think it was about maybe 30% of those surveyed said that they would under no circumstances vote for her. And I think the term limits extension is a big explanation for that.
All right. I'm speaking to David Chen, City Hall Bureau Chief for The New York Times, and we are taking your calls about the issues that got crowded out with all the Anthony Weiner news in the mayoral race this week. The phone number is 212-433-WNYC. George in Manhattan, what did you want to hear about this week?
I think that planning and preservation are being ignored, not just this week, but generally by the candidates. There's a lot of talk about candidates being in the pockets of developers and a lot of hand-wringing about New York City overdevelopment and becoming a city of luxury high-rises, but no discussion of preservation and responsible development. Currently, there's a really aggressive campaign being mounted by the Real Estate Board of New York, decrying landmarking and the Landmarks Commission and the great work that they do in preserving communities in all five boroughs, but no one's talking about it. In years past, mayoral candidates have come to preservation forums sponsored by the Historic Districts Council, the Municipal Arts Society, the Landmarks Commission. This year, the candidates have refused to discuss this, and ostensibly, because of them either receiving support from developers or we don't know, but it's just not on the table.
You want to hear more about that. Thanks for your call, George. Susan in Morningside Heights, you have a related concern?
Yes, I sure do, and I'm so glad to hear other people talking about this on the air. One specific case in which developing is a problem is the selling off of our public libraries in recent years. There has been some coverage recently of this central library plan. Leonard Lope did a couple of shows in the last 2 weeks, but there's a plan currently underway by the New York Public Library to sell off some of the branch libraries, the Mid-Manhattan branch and Sybil, the Science, Industry, and Business Library. and incorporate those libraries into the research library at 42nd Street, which would entail gutting the research stacks area of that library. In Brooklyn, same thing. The Pacific and Brooklyn Heights branches are in jeopardy. Now, some of the candidates have been talking about this. John Liu, Bill de Blasio, in the New York State Assembly, Micah Kellner, who's running for city council, actually convened an entire hearing about this 3 weeks ago, which was wonderful. There's a lot of talk about, you know, what happened to the Donnell branch, which was sold off a few years ago at a loss to the city. So it's about public properties being sold for private profit. Now, I know Christine Quinn spoke out this winter in favor of this selling off of the libraries. The New York Public Library has a quote from her on their website, in fact. So I would like to hear if she has changed her opinion
on
this meanwhile.
More. All right. Thanks so much, Susan. And quickly, Peter on the Upper West Side, I understand you're director of Streets PAC, and you all are making an endorsement.
Well, that is correct. I'm a director of Streets PAC, which is a political action committee that supports candidates who want more complete streets, more livable streets, streets that are safer for walkers and bicyclists and our citizens of all ages. We are actively involved in interviewing and endorsing candidates. We've made endorsements in 9 city council races of city council candidates who are supporting our position. You can find all the information at streetspac.org.
Have you picked a walkability mayoral candidate?
We have not yet. We have sent out a mayoral questionnaire, which is also available on our website. And so far, we have only interviewed and endorsed city council candidates, but we are hoping to interview and hopefully endorse a mayoral candidate as well. So
all
we
right.
are endorsing across all city council districts and citywide races, and information is available on our website, streetspac.org.
Thanks for your call, Peter. So, David, we have a number of concerns about development.
Yep.
There's one other thing I want to ask you about before you go, and that's a proposal that came from Anthony Weiner this week that didn't get a lot of attention. He called for a nonprofit czar, a mayoral-appointed position that would work with nonprofits to secure government support and funding. And I wonder how that sounded to you. Should we be thinking about this with the prospect of losing a billionaire mayor who's going to be able to kick in his own private financing to help out nonprofits in the city? Losing Bloomberg, do we need a nonprofit czar in the city?
Well, I mean, it's an interesting idea that Congressman Weiner had proposed. I mean, it's sort of, he's a little bit late, if you will, to the notion of trying to appoint sort of a deputy mayor for fill in the blank. I think it was... Now it's become a bit of a fog. I can't remember which mayoral candidate or several of them had suggested appointing, you know, a deputy mayor for infrastructure or a deputy mayor for diversity. This issue that Congressman Weiner, in terms of the nonprofit sector, raised is an interesting one, because contracting is a huge part of city life and the city budget, and I think there is some general uncertainty that a lot of folks fear when it comes to a post-Bloomberg era. On the other hand, of course, I mean, you know, there was also a pre-Bloomberg era in which, the rules were different and there were nonprofits, so it remains to be seen. But I think what the congressman, if I may sort of dovetail back to the most recent batch of callers, is speaking to, in some degrees, I think, or to some degree, is, you know, this concern over neighborhoods and smaller groups and livability development, whether it's a nonprofit development corporation, for example, or whether it's folks who are interested in preserving libraries or folks who might favor the mayor's approach when it comes to zoning. I mean, zoning and rezoning and development, livability, bicycle-friendly mayor or bicycle-hostile mayor. I mean, these are things that people are really talking about and are very, very poignant issues. And it's as an aside, it's interesting that the caller who mentioned the public libraries in the hearing with Micah Kellner, brought that up, because had we not been talking about Anthony Weiner this week, we might have been
right.
devoting more time to talking about Micah Kellner and Shelley Silver and harassment and Vito Lopez, another council candidate, and Albany and whatnot. But, you know, there was only so much oxygen in the room, I guess.
All right. David Chen is the New York Times City Hall Bureau Chief. It's always great to have you on. Thanks so much, David.
Thanks again.
You can see a non-sexting reading list on our website, WNYC.org. Just click on the Brian Lehrer Show. There'll be lots of links there, including a link to a story that we have up today by Wayne Barrett, a new contributor to WNYC. He looks at candidate Bill Thompson's ties to a failed Brooklyn Medical Center. And up next, we'll talk about a provocative new article in New York Magazine. Maybe all our economic success in America was a total accident. Maybe our prosperity is on its way out. After the break.